we're going to end up, we're going to really start out where we left off of the 10 ways to discern the voice of God. If you want to flip back to your notes last week, you can start there, and we're going to kind of go through this. And then you all got a lot of notes to take home and study about the gifts. And I was wondering, did you fill your papers yet? Did you get all your papers filled out? Did you do your exams yet, or your did everybody fill those out, your essays and your tests? You're working on it? Okay. If you did, I'd like to have those back today, if you would, please. Okay. I'd like to start to look at them and assess them for you and write some things on there, okay? So, but yeah, you don't have to do it immediately, but before you leave today, if you'd please, and oh, well, Janine, if you want to walk around and pick them up, that would be very helpful for me. But I'd like you to do that, and no later than next week, all right? Next week, I want you to fill those out. How many of you got yours done? You did your little exam there. Okay. Ariana? Good. Okay. Well, we can talk about that at the end if you have some questions. All right? Because we're going to go through some of them and teach a little bit about them today and finish up next week. But I really wanted to look at your papers and notice that I say, and it's important to represent, okay, I said next week, have them done. Okay? Because that's next week.
Will we get these back after you leave?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll get them all back and they'll be circled and I'm going to write some things on the top of them. And there will be personal consultations too from now on, you know, throughout the next probably month or two. We're going to be talking to each and every one of you about your gifts test. So that's going to be exciting. All right. We'll work on that and we'll talk about it. But let's talk about the 10 ways now to discern the voice of God, because one of the things that's important you realize, once you have spiritual gifts, you can never use them outside of the context of representing the Father. Everything ties in with that. Everything. That's why the principle of representation is so important versus substitution. Because when we talk about using our spiritual gifts in the local church, we've got to remember to, in order to do that, we've got to hear the voice of God. And that's why I want to talk to you today about how you can hear the voice of God. How you can hear the voice of God. How many of you have ever just wondered, am I hearing God or not? You know, and stuff. Am I following God's direction? Is he speaking to me? You know, and I really want to help you to understand how you can do that. The 10 ways to discern the voice of God. We'll briefly go through these and then carry on from there. Number one, always let peace be your umpire. Always. Always let peace, the peace of God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said that before, but you can flip over to the last page of the last lesson, number 9 that we were on, because we're on lesson 10, but we're going to review a little bit of last week's 10 ways to discern the voice of God. Okay, so flip over to last week's. We kind of, we really shot through this at the end of last week, and it was like, I felt like I was a shotgun just doing this, and I really didn't get a chance to amplify any of it or really explain it, and I'm really going to get into it today because this is so vital. I've seen people have a wonderful spiritual gift, I mean, or two or three or five, and then because they weren't able to hear God's voice and use it properly, it was a mess. So without knowing how to be led by the Spirit in your spiritual gift, things really go awry. So really, this is very, very important that you learn how to hear the voice of God. So these are the ways to discern and learn the voice of God. Number one, let peace be your umpire. What I have learned about God is that he always speaks to us with this deep, abiding peacefulness. If you have a rest in your heart about something and you know it's okay, you need to have that rest. And it doesn't always come right away because as we learned last week, we sometimes have soul ties. And those soul ties make it difficult for you to have peace. But once you get past that soul tie or that tie that you have with something or object or position or title. And I gave the example I gave Ariana a ring, and she's got it on today. And that was one of my favorite bow rings in the world. And I thought, oh, I love that ring. That's so cute. And when I gave it to her, for just a brief moment, I had a little sadness inside my heart because I said, I really like that. But I thought, but she really is such a godly lady, and I wanted to bless her. So the overriding fact of that love was overriding the fact that I had a little soul tie there. And every day that just gradually went away and went away and went away. And sometimes we've got to give when that soul tie is there, or obey God when that soul tie is there, because you'll find peace happen when you do. Okay? So let peace be your umpire, not a tie in your soul or your mind to something. Number two, let the Word of God, this is the primary thing, and I'm gonna really amplify this. Let the Word of God be your guide. Read the Word with the thought. Whenever you read the Bible, how do you read the Bible? Do you read it as if it's like a storybook, or like it's some little imaginary fiction, or that it's like for some church in Corinth? Or do you read it and go, this is for me? God is speaking to me. That's the way I read the Bible. I go, God, you're speaking to me directly. And so I then take it for what it's worth. I listen to it. I say, this is God's word speaking to me, and I'm going to obey it. And then what I do is, when thoughts come into my mind throughout the day and I get these thoughts, every thought is filtered in the frontal lobe of my brain. And this is really true. This is how it works. I go, is this from the Bible or is it not? That's what I think. Is this from the Bible? Is this from the scriptures or is this not? And if it's not from the Bible, dismiss it. Okay? Because you need to pull down every vain imagination, the Bible says. Every thought, lofty thought, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means you're really in an ongoing war throughout the day. And sometimes that's why you get exhausted at the end of the day, because you're going through this battle. Is this God? Is this right? Is this God? Is this? That's why your mind has to go to sleep for at least 8 hours and just chill, because it's really doing work. It's called warfare. You know, are you thinking the right thoughts? Is this God's thought? Is it not? Well, then your mind's got to rest, because you're really challenging that brain. And it's a good thing. It's called the fight of faith. So if you're too busy to spend time in the Word, really, you're too busy, because any work that's fit for God has to be done by the Spirit. And so you've got to get with a relationship with God, not just with His Word, but a relationship with God Almighty. And sometimes, this is so important, we can actually have a relationship with the Bible and go, oh, especially those that have the gift of teaching, you'll find, or the gift of knowledge. They go, oh, this is good. I like to know things. I like to know stuff. But God had to challenge the Pharisees with this, because they liked to know things, but they didn't know God. They didn't know His nature. They didn't know God. And that's a whole different story. So our whole prayer life should be, that's why when you're a student of the Word, you cannot separate the things of the Word from prayer. If you think you're just going to be a student of the Word without having a prayer life and a relationship with God, it's not going to work. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be like a Pharisee kind of thing. Like, I know this scripture and I know this. And it's not going to fit in with the timing of anything, or it's not going to have any understanding. You're not going to know how to relate to people in a pertinent word for their life. It's going to be like, well, the Bible says this, and that's not at all what they need for that moment. It's got to be a relevant word for people. And the only way that that can come is through having a relationship with Jesus. I mean, personal relationship with Him, where you say, God, today I want to be yielded to You, like we talked about last week. I want to be yielded to You. I want to be obedient to You. And I really need You to guide my steps. I need You. Okay? So that relationship with God can be exciting, it can be fun, it can be really, really encouraging, and sometimes it can be challenging, because we're going to get into a little bit later why it's so challenging, because he will challenge us in areas where we may have soul ties, and we don't know we're living out of our soul and not out of our spirit, okay? Now, what is the soul again? The mind, the will, and the emotions. So you can live by what I feel like, or you can live off the top of your head. Well, off the top of my head, I think I'm going to do this. Or I want, I think, I feel. Those are the three areas where most people live their life, in the I wants, I thinks, or I feels. But see, when you have a relationship with Jesus, spirit to spirit, it's like, Holy Spirit, you are the one who's illuminating my spirit man. You're opening up my inner man to hear your voice. And you do that by praying for that daily, first of all. See, there again, you come right down to the prayer factor. It's not just reading the Bible, cold and hard. Well, I read 3 chapters today. Wow, I'm really spiritual. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's, first of all, saying, God's speaking to me about this. And then, God, how does this apply to my life? So you need to ask him for the relevancy of every word that you learn, okay? So let the word of God be your guide. Number three, allow nature to speak to you. Have you ever taken a vacation and just sat and looked at a tree for like 3 days or something and just, wow. You know, I mean, sometimes that's how God speaks to me. I mean, it sounds freaky. No, I'm not on drugs, okay? Wow, that tree is cool. No, I'm talking about just looking at the nature of God, the beauty, smelling it, or just, you know, that evergreen tree that is perfectly shaped, and the way it just, the green color is so fantastic and vibrant, and you're just looking at the thing going, God made that. Wow, that's cool. You know, something like that can so minister to you, and you can hear the voice of God clearly because it's something he created. Or looking at the stars may do that for you. Pastor Tom loves that. He's got stars on his computer at night when he goes to sleep. He looks at the stars, all the constellations and the galaxies, and they're so colorful and so beautiful. And I thought about Abraham, because Abraham looked at the stars and he saw the glory, you know what I mean? So nature can speak to you, and God can speak to you and minister a word to you while you do that. That's a practical way to hear the voice of God. Number four, you got to heed practical wisdom and common sense. Some people think that when you walk by the Spirit, you throw every bit of common sense out. You know, it's like, well, it's just spirit to spirit, and, you know, everything is just all, you know, just God. You know, and so I don't have to brush my teeth anymore, and I don't have to wash my hair, and somebody else is going to wash my car, and, you know, the angels are going to do that for sure, you know. So all of that stuff is practical things that God will do. Yes, he could, of course. You know, when you go and God said, go get a fish, and out of the fish's mouth there was a coin. Well, that was God. You know, hallelujah. How many of you would like that to pay your taxes, eh? But I'm saying this because it's not all that way, and that's a supernatural thing that happened, and that can happen. But for the most part, do your job. Go to work. Get a job. Pay the bills. You know, people, they're all living by faith. Well, of course you can live by faith, but sometimes you may have to go get a job for a season. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Just obey God in the practical things. And remember this, acknowledge God in all of your ways and do what he says. Now, let me say this. This is a good way of discerning the voice of God. When you get up in the morning and you go into your day, just do what you normally do, but pray this prayer and say, God, interrupt my schedule if I need to be changed, and give me a rhema word. Okay? Interrupt my schedule and give me a rhema word, because if God doesn't speak something specific to you, you don't have a big revelation of something, then just do what you normally do and live like you live, and have a great day, and be confident in your day that God is guiding you. Be confident that God's speaking to you. Hold your head up high. Be strong. Be confident. You'd be surprised how many people would be so impressed with your life if you just show a little bit of confidence in your day and know that God's with you. Hold your head up high. Walk with confidence. You know, you don't have to be all decked out to look good. You know, sometimes I'd be walking around the stores. I've had so many people come up and talk to me. Do you work here? You know, people come up. Do you work here? Do you work here? I've had that time and time again. You know why? Because people can see confidence. It exudes in your behavior. It exudes in your attitude. And you need to have confidence where you go so people think maybe you work there. You know, because you have a bit of authority, common sense. You're using practical wisdom. You're just doing something with strength and with fervor, and that's impressive. And you know, it's important too in your day that you go throughout your day, because you know what? That really throws the devil. He goes nuts. You know, when you live with authority and you walk with authority and confidence that God is with you, he backs off. So you got to walk with confidence. And remember this, that a lot of the problems that you that have happened to you in life is because you don't have the confidence, and the enemy's just throwing things at you all day, trying to get you to cow down to him. And so the way you hear the voice of God is you walk confidently, knowing he's with you, that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you, and that he's guiding you, and that you, with the submission and yieldedness in your heart, are going to obey him. All right, throughout the day. I read Psalms and Proverbs almost all the time. This is a really, really practical way to hear the voice of God. Because number one, Proverbs will encourage you, and Proverbs will help you to stay out of trouble because it gives you a lot of wisdom, and Psalms will encourage you. Okay, so read Psalms and Proverbs quite frequently throughout the day. If you just flip open, just read Psalms. It's so beautiful. It's that prayer life that David had to encourage you, and then Proverbs will keep you out of trouble because it'll give you sanctified common sense. Common sense for things. Important, very important. Number five, let your conscience be your guide. Remember, do nothing to violate your conscience. And the Bible literally says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read this because it's so perfect. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Don't ever lie to your wife. Don't ever lie to your wife. Don't ever lie to your husband. Don't ever lie to people that are close to you, especially not God. Because when you start lying to try to trick your way through things, you know what happens? Your conscience, it's like a piece of steak that's put on a grill. It sizzles, and it gets hard. It's tough. It gets tough. And then your conscience can't hear God any longer because you've lied. You're in deception. And see, that's what happens when you believe lies. It says here, it says you depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and your conscience then becomes seared. So always, always obey that conscience. Even if God, you know, the Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. It's sin to you. So always obey your conscience, whether it's sin or not. Some people would never step foot in a movie theater because to them it's sin. To them it's sin. So honor that, and that's the way they feel, okay? And, you know, everybody has different ideas about things, and so we've got to be very, very, first of all, remember I taught that on Sunday, to be very careful of the brothers around us and to love them. Because we don't want to help them or hurt their conscience in any way. Violations of conscience is very bad because it causes you to walk around in condemnation then. And That is the one area then where you cannot hear God. When you're in condemnation over your own sin, it's like this blinder comes over your brain and you can't hear God. That's why it's so important, the confession of your sins when you've fallen into iniquity or sin. Confess your sins and receive the confession, the blood of Jesus, the cleansing of that blood, and receive that so that your conscience will be able to be cleaned and purified. Then you can hear God. All right, so that's so important. And number six, God will speak through dreams and visions. And if you get a dream that's not peaceful, I dismiss those. Because when I wake up and I have a very bad dream, and maybe, you know, like something with snakes or gross things coming crawling out here and yucky, you know, gruesome things, and I feel unrest when I wake up. I know the enemy was trying to disturb me. He's trying to disturb my peace. And I always let peace be the umpire. But if I get a dream and I wake up and there's like an interpretation of that right away, and I hear what he's saying, and it's an interpretation of that, I go, oh, and I have a peace about that, then I'm fine. Especially if I get a repetitive dream over and over and over about something. That's very important. And another thing about visions and dreams, sometimes you may get an open vision. That means you're walking around and you see something, a plan or a purpose or something for your life. Take heed to that, because that may be God speaking to you, especially if it keeps reoccurring over and over again. But I do have a warning for you. Don't ever let prophecy run your life. Don't ever let prophecy run your life. Let the Word of God run your life, okay? Prophecies are always given to you as a confirmation of what you know in your heart, or as something that I call put on a sky hook if you don't understand it, and it may be revealed to you later of what it means. But never be just led by prophecy. Oh, yes, that's right. I'm going to do that. And, you know, and you have no revelation of how to do it or what it is. You know, like somebody comes and prophesies to you, oh, well, you're supposed to move out of this city or out of this church and, you know, go to another church or go to another land, you know. And you're going, well, I know that's the first time I ever heard that, you know. But all of a sudden, because you're so vulnerable and naive, you go, well, I guess I better go. And you make mistakes when things like that happen, because you're, first of all, not led by the umpire of peace. You're led by your emotions there. That's an exciting thing. Well, maybe something new is going to happen to me, all right? So the umpire of peace is always a slow leading. It's a faithful leading. And if it's God, it'll stand the test of time, honey. If it's God, it can stand a test of time. It can stand a year, 2 years, whatever. God's, you know, if you miss God, God's going to find you. All right? But if you step out ahead of God, woo-woo. It's much better to be a little bit behind him than stepping out ahead of him. So just wait a little while, just pray, just ask the Lord, seek his face. And when you ask God to speak to you, remember, leave it up to God how he's going to speak to you. Because he'll speak to you however he chooses. That's what I learned about the peacefulness in my heart. When I, number seven, I love this one. This is a very important one. Number seven, it says, when seeking wisdom, go to God with a neutral mindset, not allowing your own emotions or head knowledge to get in the way. What I mean by that is you go to God with a neutral feeling, like if you really, really want to hear God, I put my mind in neutral. I say, God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. Or if you want me to do this, I'll do it. Either way is fine with me. Now show me and give me wisdom. Then God will speak to you. But if you have a passion, you're trying to persuade God, oh, but God, this is really what I want, you know, speak to me about this. Show me, give me thousands of dollars, you know. I mean, that's your will, right? Okay, so sometimes you say that with God, you know. Oh, yes, bless me, Lord. You know, that's all I ever hear. You know, God says, and I'm going to talk about this in a little while, how the deceiver can affect the believer's receiver. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So you don't want to go to God in a mindset that's like, I believe this is right, God. You want to go to him in neutral and say, Lord, I'm putting my mind now in neutral, in gear, and now you speak to me, Lord, as to what I need to hear. So remember, God will do that, and I believe he'll do it if, as a confirmation to always check and consult with pastoral authority. I mean, be open to that, because if you have a word from the Lord, I really want you to understand that is important to consult a pastor about, to talk, especially to Pastor Tom and myself, say, I got this prophecy, or I've got this vision, or I've got this dream, and, you know, just submit it. Because if it's, submit it to as many leaders in the body of Christ as you can, especially to the pastor of the church. Because if you don't, you could be really, really bent out of shape, and your life could be totally wrecked. We've had people do stupid stuff. When we lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, this lady was so convinced that she was supposed to marry Brother Noel Hayes. So convinced. God had talked to her that she was supposed to marry Brother Noel Hayes. So she showed up on the doorstep of his own house with a bridal gown on. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? And when he answered the door, he said, who's this woman? She had a beautiful bride's dress. The Lord told me I was supposed to be your wife. And Brother Norval, oh, I wonder why he didn't tell me about that. I mean, it's really funny how people do really flaky things when they really believe it's the Lord. So if you believe it's the Lord, just submit it to the pastor, submit it to Pastor Tom and myself, or just talk to us about it for sure, because we don't want you leaving and going dressing up in a bride's outfit, hanging out at some church, you know, saying I'm supposed to be there to do your dance ministry or whatever, you know. It's kind of ridiculous what can happen, but that's just stupid stuff, you know what I mean? But it can happen. It can happen, and it does when you get led by emotions or your thinking or your will. So, and number 9 is be open to change. I have had this happen in my life where when I was really seeking for the mind of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord, wanting to walk in the Spirit of God, do you know what I did? I remember thinking, this is getting to be ho-hum, same old, same old, same old, same old. Yeah. And when stuff gets same old, same old, same old, you got to remember that sometimes we can get in a rut, like our mind can get so ingrained in our own plans that we can't even recognize his voice anymore because we're so caught up in our own plan. And that's why I say ditch your plan. You know, if it's not from God, ditch it. And, you know, the minute that you start to let go and step out in faith and take one step at a time, God's going to carry you one step at a time. He told Abraham this, you know, in Hebrews 11. He said, go, leave. And I'm not even telling you where you're going to go. Just leave your family, leave your relatives. He didn't even have any relative problems. He said, just go and do it. And when God said, do it, he gave him one step at a time. He says, just go. And the next thing he did is give him more. See, God, the problem with us is that we always want to see the whole picture at one time, don't we? We want to see the whole vision. We want all of it mapped out. We want every little jot and tittle to be there. So then we step out on faith. No, that's not faith. Ah, interesting. That's not faith. Okay, faith is when you have to trust. When you trust, okay? So that's not saying that you can't just have a word from the Lord and do something from God and sometimes get an overall vision. But specifically, God will break it down step by step by step by step, and he'll usually take you one step at a time. I say usually because I never put God in a box. But this is generally the way I've seen him work in my life. He doesn't give me everything at one time because I wouldn't trust him. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Right. We live by faith every step at a time, one step at a time. And so man will plan his ways, but God will direct his steps. So don't carry a bunch of dead bones around. When God's finished with something, move on. Okay? So remember, if your plan's not working, get smart enough to say, How can I be more relevant right now to the time that I'm living in right now? Because God, you're apparently speaking to me something. So remember this. I want you to turn to Psalm 40, verse 6. And I want to show you how to be led by the Spirit. Because sometimes the deceiver will affect the believer's receiver. Well, that's a lot. That's a long word there. But the deceiver will affect your receiver so that you cannot hear properly. And God wants us to be overwhelming in our areas of ministry. He wants us to be abundant. And I think the reason why more people don't live an abundant life is these reasons that I'm listing right now. They've got great spiritual gifts. They're awesome in their character. I mean, they're really nice people. I mean, they're loving, they're kind, they're gentle, they're spiritual. They've got great gifts, but they don't know how to hear the voice of God in their gifting. And that's why I'm saying we've got to develop this relationship with God that we can hear him and obey him. Got it? Hear him and obey him. So in Psalm 40, verse 6, it says this. It says, "Sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but my ears have you opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. I delight to do your will." God says, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but what? My ears have you opened, Lord. How many of you have been praying, God, open my ears to hear you, Spirit? Open my ears to hear. That is the first step to hearing the voice of God. Do it every day. Say, Lord, open my ears. Make it a confession. Lord, I hear from God. I hear from you. Do you know that we believe, the majority of things that we believe are from our own mouth? That's what scientists have proven, that you believe stuff coming out of your mouth more than you believe anything else, more than you believe somebody else talking to you or what you hear, you know, or what you see or what you read. It's what you say. It's what you say. And so that's why the confession of your faith is so important. The Bible talks about that. Jesus is the high priest of our confession or profession of our faith. So when we say, I am led by the Spirit of God, I hear the voice of God, the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. When you say those, I believe I'm hearing the voice of God. God will perform that because, first of all, it's his will. Secondly, you're believing it. All right? So pray and obey. I delight to do your will. If we're faithful in the little things, God will make us ruler over much. Now flip over to Proverbs 1, and I would like to read this to you because this is another very, very powerful, powerful scripture about how to walk in the will of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23, and God says, if you listen to me, and I'm going to ask you to do this because really obey this one. This is a key ingredient in how to hear the voice of God. If you listen to God when he chastises you and corrects you, God will literally speak to you. But the key is that we're open to correction. How many of you hate correction? No wonder. No wonder we can't hear God. Because sometimes he's going to be correcting us. If we don't like correction, we're not going to hear him. In fact, let me read to you Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. It says, turn you at my reproof. I don't like this version. I would like another version. Can I have an NIV? Anybody have an NIV that I can borrow? I really would like to read it out of the NIV. It's much more understandable. Thank you, Patrick. Okay. Okay, verse 23, Proverbs 1, 23. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you, God speaking now to his people, and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, and when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. Wow. You ever read that?
Yeah.
Okay, get this. Since they hate knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. That means to have a reverential respect of his wisdom. You know what happens? Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. It says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. It's not good to be simple. It's not good to be simple. It's not, that means naive or dumb or just do whatever you feel like or substitute. There you go. For it says, the complacency of fools will destroy them. And it says, but God gives a little thing here. It says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease. Whoever listens to me. So, what is the key ingredient? Thank you, Patrick. What is the key ingredient for us to be able to hear the voice of God? Thank you. It's being in a posture to be corrected. When we're in a posture to be corrected, God will make his words known to us. So that's why I spoke to you about coming to God in that sense of being neutral in your mindset, not trying to want one thing or the other. So I'm not saying that we don't, none of us can obey God perfectly. Okay, please understand. God looks at people from their heart, and if they're sincere and yet they're disobeying God, you know, I've always said this, and so let this be a hope to you. If you really want to follow the voice of God, but you're sincerely missing it, God says if you've lost him, he'll find you. But I will say this, some people purposely ignore the voice of God. They don't want to pay any attention to the voice of God and heed what he says. And our life is just going to be nothing but a big old mess if we live that way. Okay? Life isn't making money. Life isn't having a big bank account. The theme of my life is not amazing money, how can it be? You know? Or, wow, the theme of my life is, man, I really was a success. You know what? I really just, the theme of my life is, Lord, let me will to do your will and obey it. It's the theme of my life. Okay, how do you hear from God, though? If you're not obeying, remember God is love. God is love. But if you purposely harden your heart, the Bible says this, he's going to laugh at your calamity because he's been trying to give you advice over and over and again. And that puts the fear of God inside of me where I'm saying, God, don't let me be like that. Don't let me be like that. I don't want you to laugh at me. I want, you know, instead of disobeying, instead of passing around the mountain over and over, round and round the circle, round and round and round and round, we keep going around the same mountain. God says, why don't you just say this? Lord, correct me. Lord, I'm open to your correction. Get out of your rut. Or I'm going to just live the same stupid, boring, doldrum life. And you know what? It's not going to be exactly what I've dreamed of. Obedience brings blessing. I wish more preachers would preach on this. You know, we hear a lot of preachers produce some great messages on identifying yourself in Christ and who you are in Christ, that you're a child of God, that there's the blessings of Abraham, that there's the promises. But how many people dare to do what I'm doing right now and say, why don't you learn to obey God? And just posture yourself in a position to say, Lord, am I missing it? That's all it takes. And just say, God, I'm open. Because obedience needs to be a lifestyle. It produces faith inside of us. And so Isaiah 11, let's turn there. Isaiah 11 verse 2 gives us a promise. Isaiah 11 verse 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is what happens when we fall in that place of just being corrected by God, of wanting to be instructed by him. And you know, doesn't have to be big major things by saying, well, maybe I'm missing it. No, just bold-faced go in front of God and say, God, I'm missing it. I know I'm missing it somewhere. Please show me. And if it's just that I don't have confidence in you, then show me that. You know? It may not be a bold-faced big sin area. It may just be you need confidence in God. Okay? So there's some area where we can grow in, and that's always what I'm looking for, right? Aren't you looking for that too? Don't you want to be changed? Don't you want to be a better person tomorrow than you were today? It's a simple thing. Just say, Lord, I'm open for you to correct me, for you to give me advice. All right? And so Isaiah 11 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon us, the spirit of wisdom then and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? It's just saying, Lord, I do respect you. Because I've seen this. People have learned to walk in excellency. I believe in living an excellent life and using your spiritual gifts in the local church excellently. Okay? But I think it starts by little things. It starts when you go into the supermarket and you've got something that you had taken out of one aisle and you don't just leave it sitting there for somebody else to go pick up. You go and put it back where you found it, or you put your grocery cart back. Or you're shopping and you put, you know, you still leave the big pile of stuff that laying there on the floor. You put it back on the rack, on the hanger, and hang it back up like you found it. Those little things are very important, and they're very important to God. God says excellency in every area of your life. Daniel, the Bible said, had an excellent spirit. He was reverentially fearing the Lord. And I don't think we have enough of that, because sometimes we get a little too buddy-buddy with God. You know, God's my bud. Yeah, he's my bud. He's my homeboy. You know, what's that? Of course he's a friend. Of course he's our friend. But he's way more than a friend. He's God. He's the Lord of this universe. There's got to be a reverential fear of this respect of God. So you know, it's not just all about just a friendship with God. It's obeying him. It's wanting to follow his will. It's being respectful of his ways. All right? And really having a heart cry to God. God, I'm desperate for you. You know, when you want to use your spiritual gifts and God says, okay, here you go. You're going to use your spiritual gifts. It all revolves around the fact that you are in a local church with a team of people, and you need to obey God with a group of people. Because I'm going to give some specifics here in just a few minutes. How to hear from God, okay? You can have, everybody can hear one sermon and hear different things in a sermon. For instance, you can hear, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Okay, I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so some people hear, wow, God's praying that I would have prosperity and health. Yeah, and that's the fleshly person. He hears with the fleshly ear. The spiritual, the sanctified person will go, even as my soul prospers. They would hear that too. So prosperity and healing are in correlation to how our soul is prospering. So how is your soul prospering? All right. Now, the anointing of God abides within you, but everything that I've learned about walking in the gifts of God is related to how we walk in love with people and in love with each other. Are we doing things for the right motive? Are we doing things to, first of all, glorify God? And are we doing things because we really want to love people? Or do we want to just look good with our spiritual gifts? Okay? Sometimes that happens. We start to want to, I call it polishing our armor. I got the armor of God on. Look at my armor. Look at my breastplate, man. Look at my helmet, man. You know, and it becomes this big kind of a show about what we're doing. And that becomes so counterproductive, because love takes the humble seat. It takes the less seat. In fact, when you want to study about humility, you always talk about servanthood, because there's all kinds of gifts. And I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes. But let's go through some of the things that relate now to your gifts, okay? Because then we're going to talk about how to use them in the local church properly in the next sessions. So once you've discerned the voice of the Lord, okay, we got to remember this and be gracious with me, okay, here for a little while, because I'm going to talk to you about the gifts, and maybe I won't be able to get into everything, but give me at least extra 10 minutes if you would, okay? There's the gifts, they're called life gifts. Those are the Ephesians gifts, okay? They're the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. Okay? If you're taking notes, you can write those down. Okay? They're called the life gifts or the ascension gifts. These are the people that really are called into fivefold ministry. These are the fivefold ministry gifts. The pastor, well, it starts with the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. And I'm not going to list all these other things because I'll research them more and explain them a little bit more next week. Then there's the motivational gifts. You can research this at home this week if you'd like to look it over. The motivational gifts are in Romans chapter 12. So you look those up, okay? And then the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But instead of going over all of these things, hey, Amanda, instead of going all through all these things in lesson 10, I want you to flip over to the last page, and I'm going to go over lesson 10's notes if you want to hear from God, and then we'll close. And I'll review the rest of the things next week, okay? So number one, using your gifts in the local church is so important. And I'm going to apply this now of how you can use your gifts in the local church. Number one, I love this part. This is good. Let me find my little page here, though, because I'll love it even more then. Okay. And I don't have it. Can I have one of the pages that you passed out, the Listen 10? Can someone get another one, and I'll use this? Okay. If you want to hear from God, quit complaining. Okay. And I'm going to apply this to the local church. If you want to hear from God, you've got to quit complaining. It's just a fact. You cannot complain, and it's the crab effect, okay? Mr. Crab, you're crabbing, Mrs. Crab. You're crabbing all the time about something. My gifts are not being noticed. Oh, I don't seem to be growing. How many times do you say that? My gifts aren't being noticed. Nobody's noticing me, you know. Or why is it taking so long for me to be successful? Crab, crab, crab. Or why do I have to do something? You know, I don't want to do this. You know, crab, crab, crab. Or everyone I'm working around is not doing the right thing. That's going to cause me to be delayed. These are all things that happen when we're working together in a team, because the thing about working in the local church and using your spiritual gifts in the local church is that we're all a part of a team. And love has got to guide us. We've got to keep ourselves in a position to receive all the time. How many of you love to receive? You like to receive gifts? Well, we've got to learn how to receive from God. We've got to say, Lord, I want all that you have for my life. Can you say that with me? Lord, I want all that you have for my life. And I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to quit crabbing. I'm just going to thank you, Lord, that you're giving me all that you have for me. All right? Number two, if God calls you, and there's two someones in here, so you can cross out the someone, okay? If God calls you to apologize to someone, go and do it. If God calls you to apologize to someone, go and do it. Because chances are, in the local church, you are going to be making some mistakes with your spiritual gifts, and you're going to make some slip-ups, and things are not going to happen perfectly. And so we relate to each other, remember, in teams, right? We're a team. We're a team. And so we need to learn to be accountable to one another. So if you made some mistakes, you're a godly person if you apologize. Some people say, well, you're not godly if you have to apologize, because you're going to look like a fool, or you're going to look like you're low, or you're going to look like you don't know everything. That's not true. You're going to look very smart to every one of your team members and to God if you apologize. And so remember, that's a perfect example. If you've blown it, just apologize. And then number three, keep a reverential fear of God. Okay? Remember this, don't fall in love with things. Fall in love with Jesus. Right. Don't fall in love with positions or titles, because God will direct your path. And when you give something away, just give it away. Just to help others. I mean, just give. Give freely. So the only way that I've learned, when you keep a reverential fear of God, you say, well, I'm not going to fall in love with belongings. I'm going to hold loosely to those things. Hold loosely to things. Titles, positions, everything, even compliments. Okay, and when you start serving God and people start giving you compliments, it's interesting what happens, because the Bible says you are measured by the way you receive insults or compliments. So if you're always like, oh, give me some more, and you can't do anything without having a compliment given to you, it's going to be a danger for you, because you're walking in the fear of man. All right? Yeah, and if you don't do things because you're going to be disapproved by people, you're walking in the fear of man too. Because remember what I told you? God told Abraham to get up and to move and to go to a different land, and he didn't have all the things planned out for him. He just said, God just said, do it. And when God said to do it, he did it. So remember, I personally believe that when we moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, we moved from Milwaukee to Cleveland, we didn't know the whole picture, nor did we when we moved from Cleveland back to Milwaukee. We didn't even see the whole picture, but we just saw one part of it. And so if God says to do it, go ahead and do it. And you need to follow that leading. Okay, number four, do all things to the best of your ability. Oh, this is so important. If you want to flow in your spiritual gifts and hear God in the midst of your spiritual giftings, do everything to the best of your ability. Don't have a lazy bone in your body. You know, I used to hear people say, that's good enough for gospel. And I went, what? Good enough for gospel? Gospel should be the very most excellent thing in the whole world. People should be looking at the gospel things that are presented and saying, that's the finest thing out there. That's right. That's the finest stuff. We're the most creative people in the world because we have Jesus Christ living within us. We're the most excellent people in the world. We do things with great excellence. We don't throw something together, you know, just because it's your gift. Well, I'll just do enough just to get by. Never think that way. Always do things to the best of your ability. And just remember that static can cause you not to hear God's voice. What is that static? Have you ever turned on a radio station? You hear, these are all things that are called static, and they'll stop you from hearing God's voice and walking in your spiritual gift if you've got a lazy attitude. So remember, don't think lazy. Think, I'm going to be the best I can be, and I'm going to do it with the best of my ability to the glory of God. Do you know when I used to take tests when I was in high school, I would never think of just schlupping off. Well, I'll just get by. I'll just study a little bit. Every single one of my tests, I did the best I could to study. To the best of my ability, I applied myself. To the best of my ability, I did what I could. And if I got a B, fine. If I got a C, fine. If I got an A, fine. But I knew I did my best. And I was happy. I was satisfied because I did my best. And there's something inside of you that causes that to be powerful, and it pleases God when you do your best. So lose a sloppy attitude, okay? Do things to the best of your ability. And number five, use your gifts in the framework of the team of people, the body of Christ. All right, let me give you an example, because in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are given at His leading, or by His leading, by His will. And it's not what we want. For instance, you all taken that test, you know, you may get into the worst situation ever by saying that you want to be something and circle this and rate yourself 5 at this because you think you want to be that, and then you get into that situation and you fall. It's bad because you can't do something outside the Spirit of God giving you that leading and that equipping. And so the Spirit of God has got to give you that leading and give you that gift. And remember this, use your gift at the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's all about that. That's why I had to teach on hearing the voice of God, being a spirit-controlled person. Because just because I have a gift of healing doesn't mean all of a sudden I come and knock at the pastor's door and say, okay, I have a gift of healing. You got to use me today. See, that's where I've seen things go off base. Just because you have a gift doesn't necessarily mean you get to use that gift at that time where you want to use the gift, because the Spirit of God needs you at a certain time. And we've got to be sensitive to when that time is, when it's necessary. It's all about listening to the Holy Spirit. I can't say that enough. It's all about being led by God in every area. So please understand, be sensitive to His voice and yielded to Him. And number six, stay strong in faith with a very clear, clear conscience. And we talked about that before. Abraham was told by God, if you go, I'm going to make your name famous, but you must walk wholeheartedly before God. Keep that static out of your receiver, okay? Because blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. That's a promise. The pure in heart will see God. So don't disobey your conscience. And finally, I'm gonna write this out for you, a circumcised life. And you're gonna say, what's that? Ouch. Ouch. Yeah. Live a circumcised life. Now in the Old Testament, the boys were circumcised in their private part. What that was a cutting away of the flesh. The flesh was cut away. And you know what that symbolizes to us? God wants to cut the flesh away. Now, please, if you don't hear anything else I say today, it's this. If you want to use your spiritual gift and your mind is so cluttered by the world's thinking, by TV programs or computer things or coarse jesting or all that junk, do you know what? I'm telling you, you will not be able to use your gift to the fullest. I've seen people who have strong leadership gifts, strong prophetic gifts, strong anointings, pastors, teachers, leaders, and because they fill their mind with junk on the television and cruddy stuff that they see, their gift is tainted and they have limited power. I'm telling you, you know what? I don't even watch TV. You know what? To tell you the honest to God truth, I watch Christian television, or I have a bunch of good, clean, mostly black and white movies or old G-rated movies that I pull out, and I watch them sometimes with Laurel. But if they've got bad stuff on them, I take them right back and I say, here, I don't want this. This has got filth in it. And I'm bold about it too. I mean, you don't have to sit there and let your mind be filled with junk when you're an eagle. You need to be feeding on godly things and godly things. That's called living a circumcised life, cutting away at the flesh, cutting the flesh away. Because how are we going to change the world when we're like the world? That's a good question. How can we change the world when we're just like it? So we can't use our spiritual gift in the context of worldly thinking, because you can't have your blessing, like I said at the end, you can't have the blessing and choose to walk in the flesh. You've got to live a sharp life, sharp, be on the edge, be on the cutting edge of what God's saying and what God's doing. And the way you do that is I'm going to close in prayer tonight, and I'm going to ask God to give us a cutting edge. I'm talking about that cutting edge that cuts and circumcises our heart. So that we say, God, I want to keep the static out of my receiver. Okay? We're going to ask the Lord to keep the deceiver out of our receiver. So we can walk in the spiritual gifts. Just keep that deceiver out. Keep him out. Okay? And remember this. Have a clean slate. Okay? I remember this. And, you know, sometimes it's not all worldly stuff either. I heard a story about a great preacher. Awesome preacher. And all of the people got together, and this is a story I'd like to close with. You got to hear this. It's hilarious. They all went out to dinner, his whole family, and they all have iPhones. Okay, everyone. So they had like 8 or 9 people in their family, and they all went out to dinner to talk to one another. And the pastor of the church looked up, and he saw all of his family texting people on their iPhones. And every one of them was looking down, and they were supposed to be sitting there talking to each other. Is that ridiculous or what? I mean, our generation is getting so computerized, so iPhone-ized, whatever. It's just ridiculous because, you know, all, texting here, texting there, and this fast-paced generation, we don't know how to sit down and talk to each other anymore. And that's all a part of having a circumcised heart. We've got to sit down and talk and rap and share what we did during the day and say how your day went, what was good, what happened. Please talk about it. Let's talk. You know, and so like I said, not everything is bad. Something that's just systematic. We've got to break away from it, okay, and get the static out of our receivers towards God and towards others. So let's pray a prayer tonight, okay, because we want to hear from God in order to use our spiritual gifts wisely. So we're going to get the static out of our receiver, okay, the deceiver out of our receiver. And we're believers. And we have a right to be able to circumcise ourselves in the hands of God and just say, Jehovah, you are my God, and I'm going to set my face to seeking you and not seeking all the pleasures of this world. Okay, so let's bow our heads and close our eyes and block out the world right now, and let's really do some business. Let's get down to business, okay? You ready? We're going to get down to business. We're going to take care of the sin issue right now. We're going to take care of this little fox that spoils the vine. It may not be necessarily sin, but it's just not the big picture. You want to grow in God, then you're going to have to give up some stuff. Okay? Got to give up some stuff. Give up that time doing this and that and the other thing, all the computer did. Start praying. Start seeking his face. Start praising him. Study, you know. Talk to people. Get to know them. Step out of your boat. Reach out a little bit. Touch others, okay? So let's do it. Let's pray. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that I am your child. And I believe I can hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger, I'm not going to follow. I don't want to follow tradition or worldliness, or any other soul tie. I break those soul ties over my mind, those addictions that I have to whatever. And I believe that I can be free to want you more than anything, to obey you, because I believe you have good advice, and you're always willing to share it with me. So I receive your correction and your encouragement and your comfort, the whole package, and I believe that I'm going to a new level, to a new degree of glory. I'm going up in life. I'm moving up spiritually. From glory to glory. And I believe I can hear your voice. Every day I will discern it. And I will seek your face. More than anything else, I want you. And I will use the spiritual gifts wisely in the context of your spirit. Led by your spirit. And led by love for all my team members in this local church and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise him now. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the truth. We can do it because we can hear the voice of God. So that's it. Next week, I want you to bring your tests, please, okay? Bring them, your essay or your exam thing. Assessment, that's a better word, the assessment. Bring that with you, and I'm going to go through all 24 gifts. So we're going to start right on time, bam, 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 and explain them all, okay?